Welcome again, everybody. I have the honor and privilege of introducing Lady Ebelyn today. You all know her very well, but she'll be the one sharing the word with us today. So God bless everybody as you listen in. I am going to turn it over to her now. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you, Pastor, for this great opportunity. I do not take it lightly. And I pray that the Lord will bless each and every one of us as we share the word together. I want to thank God also because I pray to him that he should just take over my mouth, to take over my spirit as I share this morning. So I will go ahead and pray so we can start. Our Father and our God, we thank you again for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for this fellowship, that we can fellowship one with another in this place, Lord. Our fellowship is with you and with one another. We do not take this for granted, but we know it is you that make us both to will and to do your good pleasures. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you will brand my tongue, Lord, with your fire, that I will speak, O Lord. Lord, that you give me the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you will give me, O Lord, the ability to speak the word of the Lord in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. And we bless the hearers also, that they'll be able to respond in a positive way. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right. So, as you see, the topic today is giving account of our stewardship, also giving account of ourselves, you know, to God concerning what we do in our bodies, because we are all going to give account of that. Nobody is going to be invincible, because sometimes the enemy can give us the idea that, oh, don't worry, nobody can see you, God cannot see you. Our God is the all-knowing God, and nobody is invisible. He can see all things. So I will start off with the psalm. It's Psalm 139, and it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my part and my lying down, and art acquitted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into the heavens, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take my wings of the morning and dwell in the uppermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right away. My substance was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thy enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So with that intro psalm that I read, so the topic, like I said, is giving account of ourselves or of our stewardship. In the book of Romans 14, 11 to 12, the Bible teaches us that every man shall give account of himself to God. In the book of, just like I said, for it is written, Romans 14, 12, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of ourselves to God, no matter what status we think we are, whether we are the cream of the crop, whether the bride, or what, we are going to have to give account of ourselves. We are not exempted. Nobody is exempted from that. Now, when we go into, there is a parable or a story that Jesus told his disciples in the book of Luke 16, 1 to 13. And in that story, he was talking about a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Then he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give me an account of thy stewardship. You know, he was asking this steward, you know, and for thou mayest be no longer a steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot deed to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do. All right. So that then when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors. So look at what this steward did. You know, and it played a trick. And he called every one of the Lord's debtors, those who owe his Lord's money, unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? Then he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, okay, take thy bill and sit down quickly, write 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward. Even with all the tricks that he played, the Lord commended him because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. If therefore you have not been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's man's, who shall give you that which is yours? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one, all right? Either he will hate one, just a moment, and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So in this story, we see that this steward, even though he was an unjust steward, and he was commended for what he did. He was able to use his masters, those who owe his masters, was able to reach out to them, you know, make a deal with them, and ask them, okay, you're owing 100. Why don't you sit down and quickly write 50? And then to another one was owing 100 to, and he said, four score is like 80. You know, why don't you give me 80? So instead of his master actually losing everything, because if these people didn't want to pay anyway, they don't want to pay anymore. But this unjust steward went and made a deal with them, and they were able to pay something after all. We know so many people that are owing, you know, the government or in one way or the other, and they never paid. But this person reached out. And I think this system is even used these days when you owe something. Some people reached out to you, the debt collectors, and say, oh, what if you pay this percentage? We will take it from you instead of you paying nothing. You know, I think they are using this kind of system. So, and he was faithful he's an unjust person, but he was faithful in his dealing with his master's business. And, you know, and with that, he was justified that he dealt good with his master's business. He was able to reach out and make deals with the debtors and able to pay back. So this steward, you know, was accountable for what he did, and he was commended by the Lord. So we cannot serve God and mammon and all those things. So this is just the story that Jesus told his disciples. I don't know whether we will call that one of the, you know, the kingdom stories or whatever that you have been telling. So he just said that and that is in the book of Luke 16. And I 1 to 13, the story is in that Luke 16, 1 to 13. So going back to the topic of giving accounts of our stewardship, we will all give account to God of everything we have done, thought or imagined to God. Even our very thoughts is open to God. If we have not repented, if we keep harboring these thoughts that are not right and we have not repented of them, you know, then we have to give account of them. The only way is to repent. We will give account of what we do in our bodies. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. All right. And that is Ecclesiastes 12, 13 to 14. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So you are going to give account whether it is good or whether it's evil. If you have done good, it's going to say, come good and say faithful servant, enter into the kingdom of your Lord. And if it is evil, it will say, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. So we pray that we'll be on the right side of the Lord, and we say, come, you good and faithful servant. You have done well with what I gave you. What the talent I've given you, you have done well. Come and sit with me in my throne. You know, that's what we want to hear about. And not get away from me, you workers of iniquity. You have denied me, you have done this, and all those things. We don't want to be judged like that. We pray that the Lord, that we will straighten up ourselves. But if we by any means think that we can get away with anything, we better think again. Because the word of the Lord is so sure. And that's why it's emphasizing, it's teaching us every day. So that we know that indeed we have to stay on this path. So also in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says we shall give account of everything done in our body, whether good or bad. For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. That's 2 Corinthians 5:10. So we're going to have to give account of everything. You're going to give account of your stewardship. How did you do it? Everything you have done in your body, you have to give account, whether good or bad. So one would think that, oh, maybe you don't have to give account of the good part. Yeah, you will have to the good part and the bad part. So we have to give account of everything. Also in the book of Hebrews 1-14, so therefore we have to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We have been coming to this room every day. Let us give earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let it slip. For if the word spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that had him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So that's in Hebrews 2:1-4. Let us take heed. Let us take heed to these things that we're hearing every day. Let us take it to heart, and let us not hide in the crowd. We cannot hide, because God will find us out wherever we are. Whatever we are thinking in our hearts, whatever we are doing, he's going to find us out. Okay? And also we were admonished not to judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and we make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. God will bring everything to light. Nothing is going to be hidden. It's going to bring everything out. You know, so we have to remember that. The only way we can escape is to have repented, and that it has been blotted out, then it won't show up again. But if we think we can hide and not be able to give account of what we have done, then we are mistaken. We are greatly mistaken. So, also it commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to him give all the prophet witness, that through his name, whosoever believe in him shall receive remission of sins. So we need to testify to people. We need to do that work and let people know that you can receive remission of sins. It doesn't have to stand against you for the rest of your life if we put it to rest, if we don't live in sin. Amen. So also it says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge both the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The Lord is going to judge us according to what we do in our bodies. Both the quick and the dead are going to be judged. And also he promised us that if we attain to that, you know, position where we come back with him after, then we are going to judge with him. We're going to be one of the judges judging the people. So what position ought we to be? It's raising up people that will come and be judges with him. Okay? So, and none of us live to himself, and no man die to himself. Whether we live or we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. And for this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that we might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? And why dost thou set not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Here comes the accountability. Here comes of your stewardship. Here comes the again. You are going to give account. Nothing is going to be hidden. Nothing at all. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Let us not put a stumbling block in our brother's way. That's what God is going to judge that. Amen. So, another revelation that God showed us in Revelation 12, 15, how God is going to judge in those, at the end, you know. And he said, and I saw in Revelation 20, 12 to 15, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged on those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we ought, you know, right now that we're on earth, let us take heed. Let us repent. If we have defrauded anyone in any shape or form, make restitution. Make restitution, you know, to those things. Don't just say, well, I've repented and it's okay. Make restitution, you know. Not only should you repent, but you should correct what you have done by making restitution. And not just think, oh yeah, you'll understand, it's over with. Because the time of ignorance, God winked at. And he has commanded every man everywhere to repent. We're supposed to check ourselves and see, you know, that the Lord God Almighty will help us and quicken our body. Our body, we talked about quickening of the body. That's Christ being you. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit of life because of righteousness. Well, you are alive, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. For as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that is in Romans 8, 10 to 14. That God is admonishing us to allow him to rule our life with his spirit, so that we don't have to worry about all these things. We don't have to be self-conscious, sin-conscious, disconscious, but we just let the Holy Spirit take over our system and let him work things out for us. Amen. Also, you know, that's a reminder that God has given us in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14, that we should not be ignorant concerning them who are asleep, that we sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, even so also those which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we that are alive and remain will be caught together with them in the sky. So we see that indeed that even those, whether we live or die, we are his, whether we are here. So, and those who die in the Lord, they are sleeping, they are not. They are not dead, you know, because they have eternal life in them. They have eternal life. And some will be alive until to the coming of the Lord. Some will, when Jesus comes, he will still see some that will be alive and he will take them. So let not therefore sin reign in our mortal body, that we should obey it in the laws thereof. Okay? Let not sin, Romans 6:12 say that. Let not sin reign in our mortal body, because we are going to give account of what we do in our bodies. You know, sometimes we think it doesn't really matter. You can separate your body from your soul and do whatever you like in your body, and then you can still be accepted. No, that is not true. We have to be sacrifice our body, soul, and spirit unto the Lord and allow him to take over. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on the mortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, as we read last week about in 1 Corinthians 15:54. And the spirit that raised up Jesus that is in us from the dead, we also raise you up, you know, from these dead works and help you and quicken your mortal bodies so we can live and be accountable unto God, you know, so that we can live a moral life. So may the Lord help us. Amen. All right. So till we all come, okay, to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of God. Let us rise up to that level. Come to that unity of the faith, as we are doing right now, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is our destination. Destination. We want to be to that fullness of Christ. Amen. Therefore, what should we need? What do we ought to do? What do we need to do to get there? There's Hebrews 6:1 give us a clue. It said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. We are now required to go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. We ought to rise up above sin. We ought to rise up above all those things and live off. And any man at any time, sleep and sin, please quickly repent and get back up again. Don't stay down for the count. Don't stay down. The pastor always say that. Don't stay down for the count. You know, get up and get going. Repent and go quickly. And just say, oh, don't be like Judas that thought he could not repent anymore and committed suicide. You know, let us not commit spiritual suicide by thinking that, oh, it is over, I cannot repent anymore. Yes, as long as we have life, we can still repent, we can still go, and we are still accepted in the beloved. Let us not beat up ourselves and think that, oh, there's nothing else I can do, I've made a mistake, and that's it. And some people, you know, beat themselves up and say, oh, I've done this, I've done that, so I don't think I'm accepted anymore. No way. That is the lie of the devil. This is a lie. You can get up and get going. And the Lord will receive us. Amen. So, also Galatians 5, verse 8, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We're waiting for that hope of righteousness through the Spirit, that we may be united and be grounded in the Word of God as we are being taught every day. You know, we are being taught, we are being grounded in the Word of God. Let us stay in that Word. Amen. So, brethren, what manner of men ought we to be? As all manner of communication, knowing that we shall be judged. We shall be judged, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In our thoughts, let's clear it up. Sometimes people, some people struggle, including me, but God give us victory. We struggle. Sometimes our thoughts go haywire, but let's bring it back to the obedience of Christ. Let every thought come to the obedience of Christ. As our thoughts, you know, let not lie. Perhaps I used to say, let you know, the bird can fly on your head. Let not hide and land on your head. This thought can come, let it not have the light of day. Quickly dispel it and let the Word of God reign supreme in your heart, and it will help you in all that area. So let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how we ought to answer every man. So we're looking at what to do now to align ourselves, you know, Let us let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Anything that we want to say, cross-check it. Okay, is this what I'm going to say? What is it going to be? Is it going to bring grace to the hearer? And if it's not, then maybe you shouldn't be saying it. Amen. Maybe you should check yourself, you know. And also in Luke 6:45, say, good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. That's a good man. So we want to be that good person that brings forth out of the treasures of our heart good, what is good. But an evil man, on the other side, out of his evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart is mouth speaketh. From the abundance of the mouth, okay, the mouth speaketh. You know, so whatever is in our heart, first of all, we need to clean our heart. So what is coming out of there will be good to the hearer, and not the evil person that bring out evil out of the treasure of their heart. So it's our heart condition. We're talking about heart condition here. What is your heart condition? Is it the good or is it evil? So let us check our heart temperature, they will say, or and bring out the good things. As that's in Luke 6:45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So there's something in your heart that's making you to speak that way. Most of the time, the way people speak tells a lot about them. You cannot, you know, divorce yourself from the way you speak. If you keep speaking or thinking in your heart evil things, then that's the way you are going to be. And you cannot hide it. It's just going to be obvious. So if you speak good things, so let's think, and the Bible has given us clue to this thing, that we should think of things that are good, that are pure, that are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those are the things we ought to think about. So we have to control our thoughts. We have to make sure that they are thinking of good things. If they are straying away and thinking of evil things, bring it back. And that is the reason why Christ came, to die for us. And even the original, when God first created man in Genesis, he said that man is continually, you know, imagining evil. So, and he wanted to destroy man because of that. Because they are continually imagining evil. But Christ came that we might be able to control that, so that we do not imagine evil. We imagine good things. We imagine positive things. And God will help us to do that. So, there is he that speaketh like the piercing of a sword. See, that's the words of our mouth. When the words of your mouth become like a piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. On the other side, the tongue of the wise is health. It's health to the bone. And that's Proverbs 12:18. Let not our tongue, or what we speak, is like a piercing of a sword. God forbid. Let us speak with, you know, the tongue with like a wise person. And it is held to the hearer, to those that was hearing us. Amen. So, I think we have, there's another parable that Jesus told his disciples. And it talks about the parable of the talent, which we have had many times on this platform. Pastor have talked about it so many, many times. But let me go through that parable again. And it talked about the parable in the book of Matthew 25, from verse 14 to 30. It said, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who call his own servants and deliver unto them his goods. And unto one, he gave it 5 talents, to another, 2, to another one, to every man, according to his several ability. Because God knows our ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained 2 other more. But he that had received 1 went and he digged it. I think someone said this parable yesterday also in the earth. And he just lost money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. The Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He that also had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. The Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that has received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Lord answered him and said unto him, so he said, yes, it, he said, but I was afraid, I went and hid thy talents in the earth. So thou hast that as thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have give my money to the exchangers. And then at my coming, I shall have received my own with usury. Take therefore this the talents from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto everyone that has shall be given. And he that have abundance and shall have abundance. But he that have not shall be taken away even that which he had, and cast you the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we've talked about that in the past. This is recompense. You know, this is what this slothful servant got for not making good of what he has. And may the Lord help us to be profitable stewards in what the Lord has given us, to be able to give account, you know, of what God has given us to do. So I have read Psalm 139 with the meaning and understanding. We can read it again. Can we hide? Also in Jeremiah 23:24, it says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and earth, saith the Lord? So we cannot hide from him. He sees everything about us. He sees what we are thinking about, what we have done, and how we cannot cajole we cannot cajole him and say, or play innocence, or play, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. The time of ignorance God went at, and he has commanded every man everywhere to repent and to take account of yourself. Take account of yourself, of your stewardship, of your, what are you doing with what God has given you, your talent, your gift? What are you doing? Are you using it? You know, what are you doing? You know, we are going to give account of what we do in our body. Okay? Some people think, well, this body is mine. It's not yours. The body belongs to the Lord. Sometimes, you know, these days it's just, I see so many people put on tattoo all over the place. And I just wonder, they don't know that this body is not even theirs. Why are they putting all this, you know, cover themselves with all these tattoos? It doesn't belong to them. You know, our body belongs to the Lord. So let's keep it that way. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 2 Peter 3:11. Let us take account of what we are doing in our body, in our soul, in our spirit, in our thoughts, because nothing is going to go past our God. He knows everything. He fills the heavens and the earth, and he knows our thoughts. He knows everything. Even if you go to the uttermost part of the earth, you know, of the heavens. I didn't even, when I saw that in Psalm 139, that even if I go to the uttermost part, you know, that thou, that he sees us, you know, and he can see everywhere. I was listening, watching the television, was it yesterday? And then this man that went to the, that got stuck in the heavens or where, wherever they were, whether in the moon or something, and they couldn't come down. But thank God that he was the, he's a believer, and he was saying that he was having fellowship with his church every, maybe every Sunday or so, and even though he was over there. And as, you know, even as the Lord said, wherever, even if you remove yourself, you know, into the uttermost part of the earth, the Lord sees it, and he is going to, you know, he's there with you, and he will cover you. And say, let me see where he's in some, for thou has possessed my Lord, that covered, okay. I read it in Psalm 39, that even if I ascend, as in verse 8, it said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I, from verse 7 and 8, okay? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up in the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. So these people that went to the heavens, maybe, into the moon, whatever they went to, and they were stuck there for 9 months, the Lord is there. And as many of them as are believers, because these days people are flying to the moon to on vacation or whatever. If you find yourself ascending, if you decide one day, I want to go to the moon on vacation and take this their trip now that they're providing and go to the moon, the Lord is there. I will ascend into the heaven, is there. If you're anywhere that we are, is there. I'm not advertising that people should go, because God put me all here on earth. I don't plan to go to the moon everywhere to do vacation. No way. But should anyone decide to, like this man who is also a believer, went to the heavens, to the moons, and was had to stay there for 9 months, and he was testifying, you know, of the goodness of God. So anywhere we find ourselves, God sees us, whether we're in the moon or we're in the earth, on planet earth, or in the waters, you know, even the, on the uttermost part of the sea. Some people go down into the uttermost part of the sea. There, your hand will find and lead us. So wherever we are, the Lord is there, and he knows all about us and what manner of man ought we to be. In all manner of conversation, knowing that God sees everything, and we take account, and we're going to give account of everything that we have done, of our stewardship. We're going to give account of it. We're going to tell, you know, him how we overcame. We're going to tell him how we use our faith. We're going to give account of all these things. We're not going to be escaped. It's not going to be a group thing. That, okay, all of you that always fellowship together. Okay, everybody come and testify of what you have done in your own body. No, because we are all different. We all do different things. And God knows all about it. So may we be found in him. May we be found unwavering. May we be found faithful in the Lord. That's my prayer. And I will pray out this message. And I thank God for giving us this message that He knows about us and we should give account of ourselves. Let us examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. Yes. Examine yourself every day. Die daily. We ought to die daily unto the Lord, so we may be found worthy and acceptable in the sight of God. So that's our prayer. So let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for this time of fellowship, time of sharing one with another, for the ability and the utterance that you have given, Lord, to be able to share this message. I pray, O Lord, that it will not fall on deaf ears, but Lord, that we examine ourselves and Lord, make straight, let our path be straight, that we speak, that you are the one speaking to us. It does not matter what vehicle you are using, Lord, to speak to us, but you have spoken the word. Let your word find grace in us, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the listeners and everyone that is here. We pray, Lord, that we will all give account, good account of ourselves, that we will not be found wanting on that day when you say, come up hither, that we'll be there in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I'm going to turn it over to Pastor now. God bless you all. Amen. I'll meet here. Thank you.